Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? All right, ready, break, because I don't know if they heard. There just ain't a lot of, you know, the kids are not, they're just kind of lethargic. Did y'all not feed them breakfast this morning? What's going on? Haven't seen them like that. Great to have you here today. Hope you're having a good day so far. Like Brother Wyman has enthusiastically said, if that don't get you going, something's the matter, right? And what an awesome thing. I tried to sing along back there. So that's one of my favorite hymns, and I just found out that I cannot sing along at certain points when Shauna gets up there. Amen. I tried, though. It sounded something like, ah! I just said, you know, I could probably contribute more if I was to contribute less at this moment when it comes to the singing. And but I've never been afraid of that, and y'all don't be either. This is a little preamble to the sermon. Don't ever be afraid to sing. A lot of people say, well, my voice isn't this and my voice isn't that. Well, God knows, and he just wants to know what your heart's like. It all sounds good to him, not because he's tone deaf, but because he loves us, and he wants to hear that response in whatever way we can muster. That's right. The Bible says that make a joyful noise is unto the Lord. And I bet you can do it. You can make a noise even if it's strange. And you can be a choir member with me in the Strange Noise Choir. And anyway, good to have you all here. We're going to talk about the fellowship of the church. I read in a book, and it's a phrase that has caught my imagination, and I believe it to be true. And it says, God will show you how to create the fellowship that you crave. God will show you how to create the fellowship that you crave. Now, within that, it begs the question, and it assumes that we do crave some kind of fellowship, that we crave a way to be together with one another in a certain way, that we have an idea of this. And y'all, there's a reason why they gather great crowds at sporting events, and why they gather great crowds at entertainment, and why they gather great crowds down at Partners right down here there's a reason. There's a reason why we gather in church too. You know, there is in our hearts and in our minds, there is a desire for a fellowship. There's a craving to be accepted and beloved and part of something greater than ourselves, something that has, lack of a better term, just a magical atmosphere, an electricity, something where we feel like not only are we accepted, but we're heard, not only are we heard, but we can make progress going forward. We want to belong to a fellowship that can eventually make us better because we're a part of it. And not only that, but we can make part of that fellowship better because we're a part of it. Not only can we receive, but we can give. And y'all, listen, God can show us how to create such a fellowship that thrills our hearts. We've talked about it here before as being a fully functioning body of Christ, or simply being the church the way God intended the church to be. And that's simply what I want to talk about. We're going to have more of a Bible study. I'm going to put on my teacher hat. More than my preacher hat, okay? And we're just going to walk through Romans chapter 12. I have emphasized the last verses from chapter 3, verse 3 to verse 21. But if you'll turn to chapter 12 of the book of Romans, I'm going to start with just a quick paraphrase of those first two verses. And the paraphrase, well, I could read it, and it'd be better than my paraphrase. Those first two verses, which is the foundation of the fellowship that God intends for the church. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And while I have the word out, I'll just continue to the end of the chapter. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. And he who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil and cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. Continuing steadfastly in prayer. Distributing to the needs of the saints. Given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it's possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, where it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you'll heap coals of fire on his head. And do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Let me pray for us. Father God, thank you for loving us. You have prepared a fellowship that is to fill our hearts, our souls, our minds with a joy, with an enthusiasm, with spiritual gifts and spiritual fruit and humility and love, all these things. And Father, it's not out of our reach. Though we may have church experiences that don't reach the standard of your word, would you help us not to be cynical, not to be hard-hearted, but to trust that you, Lord, know how to create and how to show us to create this fellowship that we long for and that we crave. Lord, we love you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The foundation of this fellowship, which is found in chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, is simply that we come to understand that we all are in need of the mercy of God. We all need the mercy of God. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, and that we all, based on that, are in a relationship with God that requires our all. I beseech you, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Notice that God has not called us to be martyrs here. And so we ought not live like martyrs, but living sacrifices. Those who have given their life to a cause greater than themselves, and it's not a mournful or morbid thing, it's a joyous, explosive, enthusiastic thing. I'm a living sacrifice. My life is not my own. It's dedicated to God, and yet I'm alive. I'm not dead. I have a life that's eternal, and it ought to just exude from me. The way sometimes all the garlic I eat exudes from me. Sorry, but I knew y'all would get that picture. And those who know me well really know it well. Anyway, but not only that, but we have, in giving our lives to the Lord, there's in giving our bodies, which literally is talking about our physical bodies, to give our bodies into his service. Have you all ever prayed, "Bless this food to our bodies and our bodies to your service," right? This is where this comes from, that we would, that it wouldn't be a hypothetical type thing, that it would be a very literal thing, that your body, which, by the way, you can't go anywhere without, right? Not here on earth. God designed it that way. We're here, right? This is what gets us around. And so your bodies are to be in the service of the Lord, okay? But not only our bodies, but our minds too. And he tells us here that if we're going to, foundational to this fellowship that we have, is that we don't allow our brains to become stuck in what the world has taught us to think. That we don't get stuck in the traps and the dirt and the mire that are contrary to the Word of God, but are continuously promoted by the world. And there's so much that goes into that. You know, the whole idea that, listen, you're the boss of your own world. You make up your own mind. You do your own thing. You can pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Don't you give in to no church. Don't you listen about that Jesus stuff. Jesus will tell you, they'll tell you that you're a sinner and that you can't help yourself. Don't you believe them? You try hard. You work hard. You can pull yourself up. You can fix everything that ails you. That's kind of a worldly thinking that keeps people away from the Lord. But the Bible says, don't be conformed, don't fit into the mold of this world, but be transformed, metamorphosized into, according to the will of God. According to the will of God. Do you know God has a will for you? And he describes it this way, so that you might prove, in other words, that your life might be a demonstration of the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Y'all, we ought to live our lives as a message. There's a message from the Lord right now. He makes it rain. But I think that's rain coming down. Do y'all hear that? Are your windows open? Maybe. We're going to risk it. Yeah. Uh-oh. They'll be washed on the inside. Oh, there we go. We knew it. We were going to lose some. Here we go. We lost more than some. All right. Make sure to come back by the time we take up the offering and we're all good. Woo! We lost them. My goodness. Note to self, never recognize the rain while I'm preaching again. Okay, got it. Recorded it. Done. So those are the foundations of this fellowship that we crave. We're all starting on an equal basis. We're sinners who need mercy. We are saved people who are to give ourselves over into the service of God. And we are people who are to be metamorphosized in our minds, changed in our minds, that we might be a living, walking, breathing demonstration about what the will of God is. Now let's talk about how we get together. Okay? And in your newsletter, there's a bulletin there that kind of has my outline going on it. But we're just going to continue this way, talking through these points like we have been. In chapter 3... And in verse 3 and verse 6, we're going to stay in the same chapter. So even if I don't get it right and I say chapter, I'm talking about verses. Verse 3 and verse 6 talks about what's the authority for our group? What is the authority for our group? And what is the empowerment for our group? And it just so happens, to keep it simple, it's the same thing. The authority, the authoritative power for our group, our fellowship as a church, is the grace of God. Is the grace of God. For I speak to you, Paul says, through the grace given me. This is authoritative grace. This is the grace that says, and by the way, grace is an unmerited gift. This is a reminder that our salvation is an unmerited gift. We didn't earn it. We couldn't buy it. We couldn't persuade God. We couldn't give him the big baby blues. Please, please give it to us. It was given freely by God. God gave it to us on the cross, and it gives his people an authority to meet. Why can we do things? What do we have to go forward? Because by his grace, he allows it to be so. By his grace, he allows us to be a body. You notice how he describes the body? And this is a perfect description of the church. He says about himself, I'm one person. I have one body. But there's many different parts. I got these parts, I got these parts, I got these parts, and those parts, and these parts. They're all different, but it makes up one body. And then he says of the church, isn't it cool that we're just like that? Because we got these parts, and we got these parts, and those parts, and them parts, but we're all one group. And everyone's different. And everyone has a part to play. And God has a will for everybody, but we don't all have the same purpose and the gift, which gets us to the empowering part. How does this thing even work? What's the power that we need? We have the authority through grace, but how does the power come? In verse 6 is where he says that we've been given gifts differing according to the grace which has been given to us. We've been given grace, an enabling grace, a powering grace, a gift-giving grace. Anybody here know how to organize people really well? You know, just get people together. That's right, Nicole. I was waiting for that hand. And that's right. Anybody know how to do electrical work? Yep. Okay. Yeah, we have a couple. Anybody know how to cook? Yeah. Anybody good with kids? We got any cleaners? Right. Have you noticed I haven't raised my hand yet? Right. You have to go way down the list to start getting to my stuff, okay? But what I want you to see, it's definitely not plumbing. Found that out the hard way. That's right. Just come on. No, anyways, my plumbing blew up last week. I don't know if I told you all, but anyway, it's very interesting. He brought people together. Part of our fellowship, we're not supposed to be the same. We're not supposed to walk in lockstep. Yes, sir, this is what we do. You know, and just kind of like tin soldiers. Woo! We're part of a church. We're part of the church. We all look alike. We all drive the same. We all dress the same. We all smile the same. We all talk the same. It's all the same. Woo! That's not what it's supposed to be like. Because, you know, you got stuff. I got stuff. We all have stuff that's different. And we need to come together the same way our body is comprised of different parts, but it comes together into a unified thing. There's a difference between uniformity and unity. Did you know that? Uniformity means it's all the same. Unity means it's all together for a purpose, a common, unifying purpose. You ever been on a team? You ever been on a team where it's just exciting? And you say, this is our team. We belong to this team. You ever have moments in your family when you realize, this is what my family is about. This is what we do. This is how we stick together. You know, have you ever been a part, even at work, and being part of a project where everybody's working to get this one thing done, and there's a team mentality? Well, in the church, we're to experience that. And all in the grace of God. Do you know what the proper response to the grace of God is? There's one perfect, complete response to the grace of God. It's so beautifully portrayed in this chapter. Twice it's portrayed. After he says about the authoritative grace in verse 3, he says, and make sure not to think too much of yourselves, but to think soberly. Not lofty. When you come to realize that it's God's grace has given us the authority to meet, it's God's grace that empowers us to do what we do, the response is humility. It's not of us. It's not of me. It's not of you. It's of God. And therefore, we ought to be a fellowship of people who are not too high on themselves. Paul says in verse 16, don't go thinking these high and lofty thoughts. Associate with the humble and don't be wise in your own opinion. Oh my goodness. You ever gotten into an argument with church folks before? Oh, you want to know, where's the humility? Where is the acknowledgement in themselves, in their tone, that recognizes they didn't save themselves? That they're not right because they've believed and they hold this right doctrine right down the line. They're right because they've believed in the grace of God which saved them, that pulled them up because they had no hope of their own. We ought to be, you know, the fellowship that I crave, it involves that response of humility where we all are able to accept each other because we realize we've all been in a hole. None of us are saved without grace. None of us can say that we're not sinners. None of us are perfect. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. We have all sinned. We've all turned to our own case and have left God in the dust at one time or another. And with that becomes such a refreshing humility. It's the fresh air that ought to be in the church. A church ought to never be stagnant with pride and lofty-mindedness that we've got it and they don't. It's like, no, God has it, and he's just allowed you to be here.
Amen.
You know, we want that kind. I want that kind of fellowship. I do crave that. And it's not often seen. It's not often heard. But, man, it's so worth it. Now, that grace, that empowering grace, and I've touched on this a little bit, but the next point is that we operate on the basis of spiritual gifts. We operate. How do we operate? What keeps us going? It's on the basis of spiritual gifts. And if you look in there where it says that we've been given gifts differing according to the grace of God, and let us use them. They're to be employed. The church is to be a place where there is workers and serving going on. You know, it ought to be a place of activity, not mindless, busy work, but where people are doing that which really charges their battery. Where people are doing that. You know why the band does what the band does? Partly because they have the talent, they have these gifts. That's true. But I'm going to tell you, talent and gifts doesn't keep a group together for 14 years. There's got to be a heart there. Otherwise, people walk away. You know, there's got to be, there is something else there. And I see members of the band saying, I don't know sometimes, but you know what? It's there. There is a love. There is a spiritual gift. It's beyond just talent. That's why people stick. Because it's not just that they can do what they do. It's that they love doing what they do. Okay? That's the operate. We didn't elect them. We didn't say, let's see, we need a band. Oh, you look like a band, man. Let's throw you up there. And then you and you and you. You know? We don't do it that way. We don't elect people just to do things. We say, what makes you come alive? And when you find out what makes you come alive, we say, do that for the glory of God in this church. We don't say, hey, do you notice we asked for teachers this morning in the announcement? Who's going to be our teachers? And you know why we ask that and we don't just assign that? Because we want people teaching our kids who do it because they love it. Matter of fact, it says in there, that's one of the spiritual gifts mentioned, teaching. Let them use that faith and that grace in their teaching. That prophecy, that word there, a lot of times has the idea, especially in the New Testament, of preaching. Let him who prophesies, let them use their spiritual gift in that. Let the leaders lead with diligence. Let those who have mercy and have gifts of mercy, what would a body be? What would a church body be if there was no mercy? What kind of group would it be if there was no mercy? Let those who have mercy pour it out on people with a smile on their face and say, hey, you're welcome here. You know, mercy is the holding back of a punishment that is deserved. That's what mercy is. Mercy is when you've crossed that line, you've broken the law, you've broken the rule, and the punishment is waiting to come down. Whoop, boom. And somebody who has the ability to intervenes and says, hey, I understand where you are. I've been there too. We'll hold this back, and you come on forward with us. Oh, we need that kind of atmosphere in a fellowship where people have a... Who doesn't mess up here? If you don't mess up here, let me invite you. There's probably another church you need to be at. Because we aren't that type. We're the type who make mistakes and need the acceptance of one another. There's another church where they have tight halos and pressed clothes, and that'd probably be the place for you. But here, we have mercy. And even though someone may deserve it, we remember there was something we deserved, and we asked for mercy. And Jesus taught how important it was in a parable where one man received mercy from a king for a debt he couldn't repay, and yet he went out into the street and found a brother that owed him some money, and he throws him in jail and holds him to the letter of the law. And when the king found that out, he says, let me do the same to you as you've done to this one. Oh, we want to be an open, group, an open church, not that condones sin, but one that extends mercy because we've been mercied by God. These are all the spiritual gifts in here he's talking about. You know, the prophecy, the leading, the teaching, the ministering, the giving. What does he say about giving? If you have the gift of giving. Now that doesn't mean when we have these gifts, and I'll just touch on this one, and you can accuse me of being a typical pastor after I'm done for pointing this out. But just because we may not say we have the gift of giving, that does not remove from us the responsibility of giving. But I'm going to tell you, for those who have that gift and they've come to recognize what Jesus told the Apostle Paul, that it's more blessed to give than receive, we say to the givers, give. And how? With all liberality, with all openness, with open hands, say, just give. And you know, giving doesn't only mean money, you know. It does mean money, but not that only. There's people who give up their time, people who give up their talent, people who give up their homes or their vehicles or their, all these things that they just give. And if that's you, just give. What an awesome thing. So it's not just who can do this, but who comes alive when they do this. Don't you like that? Can't you tell the difference between somebody who just has a job and somebody who really loves what they do? You ever see the lady on the Progressive commercials? You know, I can't remember her name, but anyways, Flo. Yeah, Flo. And somebody walks into the Progressive store and Flo's like, hey, can we show you what we got? You know what I'm saying? But, you know, in the real life, I've talked to insurance people. I actually called Progressive last week because we're shopping some insurance right now. And the guy said, can I help you? I said, yeah, you know, I live in Mississippi and I'm doing this stuff. And he said, and we're looking at home insurance. He says, are you going to put a new roof on because your roof's too old? I said, pardon me? He's like, well, we can't insure you unless you put a new roof on. Are you willing to put a new roof on to be insured through Progressive? And I said, no. And he said, okay, well, we can't help you. I said, all right, then, bye. And I was like, yeah. Flo loves what she does. This man simply is drawing a check. Okay, well, you know what? In the insurance business, just like all business, you know, if I go to Taco Bell and somebody doesn't love to make tacos, but yet they still make me one, I'm okay. I chunk in my 99 cents, I get my bean burrito, I'm happy. But in our fellowship, that's not good enough. Okay? We don't want people simply doing because they feel like they got to, doing because they're compelled to. We want people doing because they are flow. I do this because I love it. Look, y'all, she hasn't been here. I'm missing her terribly. We all are. Probably even more than LG is. I don't know. But Miss Kit's not here. And she is our cook and one of our cooks. But she loves to make food. Loves to make food. She doesn't just have a talent. She loves it. And it's awesome. So I love to eat the food she makes. Special. I know. We have some other people. We have other people who do this, but I'm just saying that's what I'm trying to get you with this idea of spiritual gifts. But not only is our fellowship to be operated by on the basis of spiritual gifts, but it's to be filled with the fruit of the Holy Spirit, with the fruit of God, the Spirit of God. And y'all, listen, there, God has some specific footprints. You can know where God has been marching and walking and where he's been doing things because you can follow him literally. When it says there, starting in verse 9, let there be love without hypocrisy. Love is a fruit of the Holy Spirit of God. Where you find real love, love without hypocrisy, you know God is in operation. Listen, We've learned in school about evolution. It's the wrong idea, but I want you to just have that thought in mind. Where did love come from? From these single-celled organisms. Where does love come from if it's just a material world? Where do these things, these spiritual things, where do they come from? Where does joy come from? If we haven't been created in the image of a loving God, where do these things come from? And in our fellowship, those things need to be put on the top shelf. They need to be, I mean, when I say top shelf, they need to be a priority. We need to make much of them. That we enjoy a fellowship that is full of love and full of patience. Do you see it says being kindly affectionate towards one another in brotherly love. It's repeated twice in there. And that we would rejoice, and that we would be patient in tribulation, that we'd be steadfast in prayer. Y'all, that is the work of God pouring through us. It's not just a gift. Because let me tell you, you will never outgrow needing to be close to God. This is not a program that you take with you and you distance learn. This is a program and a fellowship that we cultivate the very presence of God so that His attributes, love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, self-control, would be all over our fellowship. And people would know it's not just about us, but it's about Him. What an awesome, awesome attribute of our fellowship and the fellowship. Don't you want to be loved? Amen. Don't you want to be 1 Corinthians 13 loved? Love is patient, love is kind, has no records of wrong, does not boast itself, does not, you know, is not interested in wrongdoing, bears all things, believes all things, endures all things, is perfect and never fails. That's the kind of love we can cultivate in our fellowship. And y'all, I don't know where every other church is on that ground, but I'm telling you, we have a great opportunity, a church where everyone is welcome, a church where we say, come on, wherever you came from, whatever you look like, whatever you're dealing with, come on. What a ripe place for the spiritual fruits to fill. What a ripe place for God to dwell in the midst of. Oh, it's an awesome thing. It's an awesome thing. Next, we see that this is also a fellowship that is dedicated to forgiveness, dedicated to forgiveness and acceptance, no matter who it is. And y'all, this might be a stretch. This may be a stretch for quite a few of us, but I want you to listen how strong the Scripture is on it. Bless those who curse you. Bless and do not curse. In that same line now, we're talking next verse, but in the same line of thinking, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. And the idea of that is, don't distance yourself from those who have been blessed and are on a high plane, and don't distance yourself from those who are going through the mud and the mire and the junk and the stuff. Sometimes we have a tendency to do that, but not in our fellowship. There needs to be acceptance of those who are rejoicing and those who are weeping. Okay? And it says, repay no one evil for evil. Repay no one evil for evil. And do not avenge yourselves. I'm going to tell you, have you ever been around angry people? I mean, people who are really, where they hold a grudge and they are ready to get someone back. And they get angry. Does it make you nervous? Does it make you nervous? I just, you know, we don't have to answer out loud. I've been with people. I've been in a car with those who are in road rage, and they begin to chase someone down and try to run them off the road. Makes me nervous. You know, makes me nervous. I've been there when people get so foamy and frothy in anger that they are literally ready to go kill. At least they convince you of that. Makes me nervous. Makes me worried. I see finger pointing going on. But y'all, listen. Our fellowship is to be a safe place. It's to be a safe place even for those who are our enemies. It says, if you find your enemy hungry, give them something to eat. And if you find them thirsty, give them something to drink. Because that's not our business. Our business is to be forgiving and accepting because we've been forgiven and we've been accepted. Now, that might be a tall order when it comes to those who have hurt us and all those things, but there is no way to be free of that hurt without being dedicated to forgiveness. I want to be in a group, not one that is hostile, not one that is violent, not one that is bent on revenge or getting their own way or showing them or doing this and that. I want to show them. I want to show them the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. That's what I want to show people through my life. I don't want to show them how I can beat them down or how I can smite them the way they got me or how I could double trick them for how they triple tricked me or all those things. I don't want to dedicate one bit of my gray matter, which is limited enough, to thinking, how am I going to get back at them? I want to let the resentment go. I want to let the anger go. I want to get that frustration, the rage, the wrath. The wrath of God does not produce the righteousness of God. The wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Let me quote that right. The wrath of man, your anger, your wrath, your resentment, it does not produce the righteousness of God, no matter how right you think you are for holding it. No matter how much you think your rights have been trampled on, your anger will not produce the righteousness of God. Okay? So we want a fellowship where we let it go. I see people are rubbing people down like, oh, no, it's okay. You're going to make it. He's almost done preaching. Just endure it. Just endure it. But I want to let those go, don't you? And don't you want to be in a fellowship where that's not the concern? Because what happens in our fellowship if we hurt someone's feelings? If we do something that, what if we just blow it and we blow it on purpose? Do we want to have a thing where we say, oh, I've hurt them. I know they're going to get at me because that's the way our fellowship is. And now I've got to avoid them and I got to do all this stuff and I got to stay away. That hurts a church. I preached at a church that was literally divided. There was a group over here that did not like the group over here. And they didn't like them. And the bad thing was we only had two instrumentalists in the church. It was a small church. And one of them was in this group and one of them was in this group. And so when they were both there, only one played. Well, when there was only one, there only one played too. I'll figure out the math of this. My point is, they would not play at the same time. They would not accompany each other. So we had an organist and a piano player, and they were supposed to play together. But they would not. And the organist had seniority or something, because that's the one who always played, except for she wasn't very good. And so we endured a lot of poor music. And the piano player, who was this, you know, what, she'd make it pop, man. It was like, pom, 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 pom. She did a great job. But she always gave way to this one. And they wouldn't come together because they were just, she was wrong and she was wrong. And it takes years off your life. It just hurts you inside. We don't need that, right? That's not the fellowship I crave. That's not the fellowship that really makes me say, I want to go there. I want to be. I'll invest my life. And you will too. No, listen, we will. And we do. We invest our lives in the fellowship that catches our passion, catches our imagination. If that's as small as our family, then so be it. But if it's larger, when people get attached to things, they invest their life. Look at sports fans. And they got season tickets. And they got all this stuff. And they've invested. And you go somewhere and you say an ill word about their team. And you see them rile up. Even if it's true. They're not interested in the truth. Their team stinks. They don't want to hear it from you. They can talk about their team stinking, but you can't. Because that's their team. We invest our lives. And I'm going to tell you, God has made a fellowship in where we can say, He will show us how to create it so it will fill our every desire. And that's what He wants to do at Christ Community Church. The last point, and I just, it's very simple, that it is a triumphant, victorious, successful body, a successful, victorious, triumphant fellowship that we would be a part of something that will not be overcome by evil, but that will overcome evil with good. That we'd be a part of that. I don't know of anybody who says in their mind, I want to be a failure. They used to have commercials a long time ago where they would do a parody when the guy woke up and he would say, you know, I think I'm going to be a car thief today. And he gets out and he steals a car and, you know, I think I'm going to be a heroin addict today. And that's just what I want to do. It's not what we want to do. People, that's not what they started out. That's not the fellowship they craved, but they gave up somewhere down the line and they get caught into a trap. But I'm going to tell you, the fellowship that God will teach us how to create is one that overcomes. It's an overcoming fellowship. One that rises above what the obstacles that are against us and pushes forward. It's a many, often, a many wondered and awesome thing that God has for us. And we're trying to create that at Christ Community Church. We're asking Him, Lord, show us how to create that fellowship that we crave. Now, if you're here and you're craving a fellowship like I explained, we are having a one-on-one class today from 5:30 to 7, okay? And you might say, well, John, was all this a commercial? No, this is something that we need to know. This is something we all need to do. We need to belong to that. It's part of how God made us. But if you're interested, I want to give you a way to apply it. You can come tonight and learn about Christ Community Church and see if this is the place. If this is the place where He'd have you join this fellowship, if this is part of, if you sense God's leading to say, I want to be a part of this and I want to be a part of the building of that kind of fellowship here, then we invite you. It's an easy way to apply this. Another way to apply this, for those who are members and those who are still seeking, look, live by the Spirit of God just like what we said. Allow that humility in response to His grace to be evident. Don't just assume it is. Don't just pretend that it is. Be humble. Do what makes you come alive here. Allow God to permeate your life with His spiritual fruit. Be dedicated to forgiving when you're offended. I didn't say if you're offended, I said when. Because we're people and we stomp toes and we offend. Be dedicated to forgiveness and be looking to overcome whatever it is has been put in your way. Because that's the way God designed this fellowship. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Father God, thank You for loving us. And I just pray right now that as we consider the fellowship that You're showing us how to create, would You bless us? Would You lead and give direction, instruction to our hearts and minds on what we're supposed to do, where we're supposed to be, how we're supposed to fit in? And Father, not just to accomplish a responsibility or a duty, but to say with all our heart, we present our bodies to You as living sacrifices because You've mercied us. And that we look to live together, many different people, but one body, one mind, one heart, united in Christ. And Father, just be pleased in the fellowship that we have here and make us more and more like You. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And the ushers are coming forward to take the morning offering. But y'all, listen. What a great opportunity. I'm excited. I hope that y'all hear. I don't ever make much of it, but during the sermon. But every service I try to close by saying two things. I love you, and thank you for letting me be your pastor. I want to, just for a moment, see, God has called me to preach and teach the Word of God. I can do that anywhere I go, and I can get my money doing. I could be the garbage man. I still need to preach and teach the Word of God. But God has given me a privilege through y'all that I'm the pastor here. And I am grateful for that because God is building here a tremendous fellowship. And I love it. And I just want to invite y'all, let's join it. If you already are a member, then join in it by participating in that fellowship. Okay? Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right. Dave, will you pray for us for our offering?
Lord God.